And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the gospel reading to one verse within that text. And as you could tell by Psalm 23 and the Old Testament reading, that we are focusing upon this sheep shepherd theme this morning. And so in Mark 6, verse 34, we see these words again. When he, Jesus, went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And here ends the text. You know, our Lord is all about relationships. Have you ever thought about that? Even God in his very makeup, as he has revealed himself to us, the Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons within the Godhead, and yet God is one in essence. And as we read through the scriptures, we see the workings within the Godhead of these three persons. And it is so beautiful as you see how God works among his people in the world and how he works among us. And so he is a God of relationships within himself. And then certainly he reveals to us in a variety of different types of illustrations and analogies of the relationship that he has with you and me. And I don't know about you, but I think one of the most precious in Scripture is the shepherd and the sheep. And certainly that's at the heart of probably one of the best known and beloved Psalms, Psalm 23, as that relationship is expressed. But we look at the context this morning, and in the beginning of our gospel reading, we heard these words in verses 30 to 33. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." It had been tough times for the apostles. The Lord had sent them out, and during that time of being sent out was when John the Baptist, you remember, was executed by beheading, and the horror of that whole event. And you can imagine the rejection that the apostles received when they went out and began to share the gospel. And as you put all the gospel accounts together, you find that that was not an easy journey for them. And so they come back and they're tired and they're probably beaten up a little bit, and then living in the horrors and the reality of the persecution of the church. One of their own, John the Baptist, had been executed. So Jesus wanted to take them away for a while, just to have some time to rest, some time for reflection. But the crowds would not have it. They are seeking out this one that they have heard of, Jesus Christ, and knowing the miracles that he had performed. And so when the masses come, even when everyone is worn out and tired, we see and hear the heart of our good shepherd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, as Jesus looked upon the crowds. Sheep. Wow, there's a description, isn't it? You know, have you ever thought in Scripture, why sheep? I mean, wouldn't it really be awesome if God referred to us as maybe cheetahs or mountain lions or leopards or tigers? Now, there would be a little excitement in that, wouldn't there? There'd be kind of a little class and flair. But sheep? Yes, that's how the Lord refers to you and I, as sheep. Well, I haven't been around sheep. I was a cattleman, but I read a lot about sheep. And I understand they're not the smartest animals in the world. Kind of the three D's of sheep. Number one, dumb. Number two, directionless. And number three, defenseless. Well, and Jesus refers to us as sheep. Well, I read a true story in Turkey. It's been a few years ago now. But there was a shepherd that decided to take a little break from his sheep. He's going to sit down, have some breakfast. And the sheep started wandering off. And of course, sheep are always looking for a leader. And there's always a sheep that will be willing to step in and lead. And one of the sheep takes off. And there's 1,500 sheep in this flock. And there's a ravine that's about 50 foot deep, and it's narrow, and you had to cross it in order to keep on going on the other side. Well, guess what the leader does? Goes right off the 50 foot ravine, falls to his death. And then there's 200 more sheep that go over following, and they all die from the fall. But that's not the end of it. The other 1,100 attempt to do the same thing. But it didn't kill him because there was such a cushion now from the 400 that had fallen early. True story. Very revealing about sheep. And they are directionless. They're prone to wander. If there isn't a shepherd there to kind of keep them corralled in or to give them a direction, and even if they're standing beside still waters and there's a beautiful meadow, what are sheep going to do? They're going to take off. They're going to start wandering here and there and everywhere, and they are defenseless. In fact, I heard the statement said that sheep are a gift to nature. You know why? They make a really good snack. And they're not hard to catch because sheep can't run very fast, and certainly they're not good at defending themselves. Can you imagine a wolf encroaching on a sheep and he goes, "Bah!" Boy, that's terrifying, isn't it? The Lord refers to you and to me and to the world, sheep. Not shepherds, not lions or tigers or leopards, but sheep. And really the reality is the sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. And that makes this a very good term, analogy that the Lord uses, because how important for you and me to know that we cannot survive without the shepherd. The shepherd himself says they were like sheep without a shepherd. Apart from God, apart from Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, you and I would also surely go astray. In fact, in our sinful condition, we all have, haven't we? In fact, in Isaiah 53, as that great prophecy, messianic prophecy, you may want to read that again today, Isaiah 53. But in verse 6, we hear, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Boy, look at that. "We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him," referring to the Messiah, the Christ, "the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." I don't know about you, but that certainly gets my attention when the Almighty God directs this word directly to me as he directs it directly to you and says that all of us have gone astray. We have gone our own way. Well, I'd like to ask you this morning, and I've pondered this in my own life, but what is your own way? In other words, just park the shepherd off to the side as though we could do that and just focus upon you. What are your vulnerabilities? What is your own way that you are tempted to go? Your own impulses, your own desires that you have that are always there hanging around within your heart and mind as they do in mine. and at times giving no thought of the consequences. Yeah, if I give in to this desire, it's very attractive, this is going to be great. And we get so consumed in the impulse and the desire that we fail to realize the consequence. We go our own ways in our sin. Well, what impulses and desires do you have? It's a good thing to maybe run a little checklist in your life and ponder those things for a moment, because some of them may have become like a normal part of your life, as they can easily become mine. Do you ever allow them to consume you? We are sheep. And if we are not rescued, we're going to go over that 50-foot ravine to our death. And not only physical death, but eternal condemnation. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, God inspired Paul to dialogue with us in the Word about the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And you can read through that. I'm not going to read all those deeds of the flesh, but it's all these dark, ungodly, evil things that we are all prone to, that we have all given into from time to time. But here's what a red flag at the end of that, as God says through Paul, I warn you as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, those are harsh words. But we can so easily get lured in and consumed by these desires of our sinful flesh. And then to add insult to injury, Jesus reveals to us another dynamic that we have to face upon this earth as his sheep in Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are what? Ravenous wolves. So there's even shepherds out there that they put on the front of being a shepherd. They're wolves out there, but they look so nice. And they preach in such a wonderful way, and the teaching seems so incredible and exciting, and they draw the multitudes. But it's nothing new. We had the Sadducees and the Pharisees, very diverse groups that Jesus confronted in his day while he walked visibly upon the face of this earth. The Sadducees denied the resurrection. They denied angels. They denied spirits in general. And they were more centered on the culture of Rome. They were kind of giving in to that. Well, then on the other end of the scale, you have the Pharisees. Very judgmental, very legalistic, adding laws to God's laws that weren't even there. And they were very self-righteous, and they were very separatistic. But they were false prophets all the same, and Jesus confronted them then. But we don't have to go very far today to find false prophets. Just turn the TV on, turn the computer on, turn the radio on, or go to some of the massive stadium events, or go to a military funeral when the Westboro Baptist Church shows up. And by the way, praise God for the Baptist Church that renounces this group. A group of hatred, a group that attacks military families because they allow gays in the military, and so they're taking it out even at funeral services. So you have that kind of ugly hatredness going on. But then you can go to the other end of the scale. Somebody like Joel Osteen draws in the masses and fills stadiums, but officially says God's law does not exist anymore. Don't have to listen to the law. It doesn't mean anything today. Because what God wants is for you to live a good life. And that basically means embrace American culture, prosperity, physical in any way, and life is good. Or you could look at the cults, and the list goes on and on. Or you can look at the deception within mainline Christianity, and the sense of you have to do something in order to save yourself. The whole works righteous, and it's all over mainline Christianity. Beware of the false prophets. Well, if we're going our own way, we're probably not going to be too attentive to who the false prophets are or the message that they present, nor are we going to maybe be too locked in to the truth of our good shepherd, the one who will never fail us. But you know, in all of this, what we find is that it creates great insecurity. And with insecurity comes fear and worry and stress and a lot of confusion. Last week, I heard a sad story about a teenage girl, high school girl. And anyway, she had made the statement, and she proclaimed herself to be atheist. And she said, "What has God ever done for me?" Well, there's a question for you. What has God ever done for me? Can you imagine living life in that mentality? I think a Ram pickup last Sunday, their driver apparently was living that way. Driving home to Windsor and past 65th Avenue, going up the hill, speed limit's 55, everybody goes 65. And I'm the last in a pack of 10 or 12 cars in the left lane, and there's 10 or 12 cars in the right lane. And I'm in the last guy staying with the flow in this huge jacked up Ram pickups going 80 plus. Whoom! Right on me. And then blinking his bright lights on and off at me like, "Get out of the way." And I'm thinking, man, you are stressed. But I'm sure, and I don't know the heart of that individual, and I prayed for him, but probably the mentality of, what's God ever done for me? Wow. Well, the good news is that God has done incredible things. And even to rebellious sheep, including us in this room in our sin, the Lord makes the choice not to throw in the towel. In fact, we just had the joy at the beginning of this service to publicly confess with one another that, yes, Lord, we are sinful sheep and we need your forgiveness. What a way to begin. And to hear the Lord's promise, his announcement that I forgive you. What's the Lord ever done for me? Well, first and foremost, we are forgiven. We are given new life. We have a shepherd who could throw in the towel. But instead, he has compassion. And in that compassion, what does Jesus do? Second person of the Trinity, Almighty God himself, he becomes one of us. He puts himself right in the midst of all these stinky, icky sheep. And he comes to deliver us. For in Isaiah 53, so descriptive, we not only hear that sheep have gone astray and everyone has gone their own way, but if we could put that up on the screen, verses 6 through 10, look how that passage goes on. The Lord has laid on him, meaning the Messiah again, the Christ, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb, he identifies with us stinky sheep. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And then we come to the end of that passage. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Have you ever thought about the grief of God crushing his only begotten son? Wow. that question is just going to linger with me. What has God ever done for me? Well, can't miss it. Bold, the cross right before our eyes. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And in so doing, the Lord has opened to us the gates of heaven. He offers it to the world through faith. It becomes our personal possession. And then beautiful Psalm 23, right? The Lord provides everything. Doesn't mean that we don't want our shepherd. It means that the Lord is my shepherd. And if the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not in want of anything. As far as things I need and that are good for me. And what does that spell? Security. That you and I are blessed to live in 100% absolute security because our shepherd provides everything necessary for life on this earth and for life in glory in heaven. Look at Jesus miraculously feeding the 5,000. That was no big deal. I can handle that. And whatever may be overwhelming in your life today, trying to survive in this world, God says to you, that's no big deal. I can handle that. And he does. We are blessed. We are secure. And then look at these words in John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Isn't that beautiful? Where do we hear the voice of the shepherd? It's the Word of God, isn't it? It's the Bible. It's the holy, inerrant Word of God. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. Do you believe that God really knows you? He's called you by name. Knows the number of hairs on your head. God says he's familiar with all of our ways. And our good shepherd continues, I give them eternal life. It's not, maybe they'll get eternal life. No, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And I love how Jesus ends this. No one will snatch them out of my hand. That's security. It's not found anywhere else, but only in our gracious Lord, Jesus Christ. And so fear and worry and stress, those are the things that are scattered out of our lives. Those are the things that stray away from us as we are blessed to be in the presence of our shepherd. This morning we have two wonderful schools represented, Trinity Lutheran School Lutheran Northeast and Sunday school and homes, Christian homes, where children are being brought up in the faith to know first and foremost their Lord, their shepherd, our shepherd. And so, having you guys here this morning, I hope this illustration doesn't offend you. I love sports. But to parents and grandparents, what's the most important thing? Is it my child's going to get an education? Or my child's going to be the top athlete? Or my child or grandchild, I'm going to make sure that they are financially secure. Those are all good things, but they're not the main thing. Because all those things will fail us. They're frivolous. They will scatter and stray away from us very quickly. But knowing and hearing the voice of our good shepherd, now that's eternal security. I have an illustration to put on the screen, and there it is. And that comes right out of God's Word. In Isaiah 40, we hear, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with him. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. And I hope that's where you want to be. And that's where you are, and that's where your children and grandchildren are. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Finances aren't going to do much for us then, are they? Or being really good in sports, or being the most intellectual person on the face of the earth. Be meaningless, powerless. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. May God bless you and me, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that we remain focused on our shepherd. And to know even when we fail, our shepherd doesn't walk away, but he comes and finds us. In his precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.